Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So welcome back to the Two Nerdies podcast. My name is Timmy Long and I'm your host this evening. And this is James Leonard,
hi everybody.
My co-host. This evening we have a lady by the name of Kate Sexton, who's from County Cavan. Kate had some tragedy in her life a while back and she started her own group called The Gathering, where it's all people who've lost family members and friends or whatever, and widowed people. And she's going to talk a little bit about who she is, where she's from, and how it all started. How are you, Kate?
Hello, thank you very much.
You'll pull the mic in front of you.
Yeah.
Okay. That okay?
That's fine. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, as I said, I'm Kate. Catherine to some people. And I'm from Cavan. And I'm delighted to be down here with you.
You're very welcome to be here.
Okay.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. And thank you for this opportunity. I guess I'm here to talk about The Gathering and my journey as to how The Gathering began. So a little bit of background. I grew up in a lovely, stable home, a fantastic mum and dad, and I have five sisters and one brother, and we had a really, really lovely childhood.
Poor boy.
Yeah.
Five sisters and one.
He was blessed among women.
Yeah. Did you grow up in Cavan?
Yes.
You don't sound like the traditional Cavan accent.
Maybe I'm putting my nice voice on now
you did your elocution lessons before you came.
When the kids are breaking up the house is a different accent.
Yeah, exactly. You just said it. As I said, an ideal childhood, a working class family. And went trained as a cook, met Simon when I was 16, childhood nearly sweethearts, and got married when I was 22. And we had a fantastic, beautiful life together. And as I said to people, we literally had it all. We had a family of six together, four girls, two boys, and which I adore, love so much.
How old is the oldest at the moment?
At the moment, she's 27.
That's your oldest?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, and the youngest is 17.
Okay.
So, built our lives together. Simon was a dairy farmer and decided to change career for numerous reasons and trained as a paramedic. So, on the 3rd of June 2010, Simon left for work, as you do, 7:30 in the morning, in his quiet way. I didn't even hear him leave, you know. And at about 4:20 that afternoon, I got a phone call to say he had been in an accident.
Okay.
So Simon died, fatal accident.
Car crash?
No, he died at work.
He was a paramedic, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
He fell out the side door of the ambulance. It was almost instant.
Was he actually in the back of the ambulance attending to somebody at the time?
He was transferring a patient to Dublin. And there was a nurse in the ambulance yeah. with them. And his partner, PJ, was driving, whom, if he's ever watching this, he's a great guy.
Hi, PJ. How are you, Pat?
Yeah. And Tanasi was the nurse with us, another great guy.
Hi, Tanasi. How are you, pal?
Yeah. Mm. And, as we found out later.
Were they on the dual carriage when all this happened?
It was just on the entry.
Yeah, just.
And the nurse noticed that the side door, there was a light showing, which shouldn't have been shown at the top of the door. And he mentioned to Simon. And Simon just got up and went to pull the door shut. And the door was a sliding door, and it was like a vacuum.
Just whipped him out.
Whipped him out.
Was he killed instantly?
Yeah. Now, Tanasi, like, when PJ realised what was happening, he stopped the ambulance, and he died in Tanasi's arms, which I'm glad for.
Yeah.
For a couple of years, I didn't realise that.
The importance of it.
I had this horrible thing of him just lying on the road. But he died in Tanasi's arms, and I'm so delighted that Tanasi was holding him.
Yeah.
Now it's 12 and a half years ago. And Simon was 43. I was 37.
It was so freakish. Like, it's just
shocking.
Just happened yeah, like that.
Just gone. Just gone.
Just gone like that.
Yeah. Your world is just turned upside down and inside out. You literally go from the we to me. And
remember now, at this time of your life, you had six young children as well.
Yes. The oldest, Edel wasn't yet 15. And the youngest, that was in June. The youngest was turning 5 the following September.
Okay.
Now, people would have often said to me, how did you do it? Like, God love you with those kids. God love you. Thank God I had my children. My children were what I got up for every morning. I lived for them. And the joy that children bring you.
Of course, yeah.
You know, and that's what you must remember.
And the madness as well.
Of course, of course, yeah.
They bring both worlds.
Absolutely. And... you know, it's Simon will always be in our lives because of, you know, my children. And you can see him in them. And he lives on through them, really.
Yeah.
That's the truth of it.
I remember when I was in prison years and years ago, my wife would be on the phone to me and she'd say, even though you were never around this marvelous, he has so many of your ways, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So
yeah, it's amazing yeah. what's innate, like, and yeah, it is. It's lovely. It was a difficult. It's been a difficult few years. I'm not going to. Of course, it has. But there has been fantastic moments in those years, and I want to stress that.
Yeah.
Because when you're left in a situation like that, I can remember thinking, how am I going to do this?
Yeah.
Mm. How am I going to do this? But I did. I had fantastic support. I have, as I said, my kids, lovely kids, they kept me going. But my family, my goodness. I couldn't say enough about my family and my brother-in-law, Brian, and they really got me through it, and my friends. And like, definitely the attitude of gratitude, you know, I was able to see what I had and concentrate on what I have. Yes, the loss was there and the loss will knock you to the ground. But when you're able, you know, definitely look at what you have. Friends, so, so important. But the one thing I did yearn for was to be with people that knew what I was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no group. There was bereavement groups, but that was for everything, you know, all types of bereavement. Not just the loss of a partner, but even for separated, divorced people, you know, which is a type of grief also.
Would they go to bereavement?
Yeah, I believe so. I should say there's groups for loss.
Yeah, grief and loss. Yeah.
So that is a type of grief, like.
Yeah.
But I so wanted to see somebody that had gone through something similar, had lost their partner, had lost their husband, and was actually standing, yeah. You know. But there was nothing available. And I know there was a group, a forum, a widowed.ie, but I don't know whether I just couldn't concentrate trying to get in on it on the system. I found difficult. Mm. Plus, because it was a work accident, there was a court case and the DPP had prosecuted the HSE. Because of what happened.
The DPP, Justice Department, prosecuted the HSE for negligent charge.
And then
did the HSE accept, or was there a court case? Because I know the HSE are notorious for stuff like this.
Well, they eventually accepted responsibility to the DPP for negligence, but when it come to the civil case, they changed their tune, and the reckon Simon was responsible for his own death, which really hurt it. Yeah. How do you change?
But isn't that against the law if they've already been?
Well, I would have thought.
Did they win the civil case?
We settled. But it was tough.
Do you think that was probably a kind of a play that they were doing? Really, it was thought of maybe from the beginning.
Of course, yeah. I would think it's the system. It's the state's claim agency that you're dealing with, really, and I think HSE just, you know, defend, delay, deny.
Mm. So who actually then? Is that fault? Is it the organisation or is it an individual that's over some section of the HSE?
There was a malfunction with the door. That, you know, the engineers found that.
Mm.
That there should have been an alarm going off for PJ in the front so that he could stop. So that they would know there was something wrong that didn't go off.
Okay.
You know? So hence, I mean, it was, I suppose, an automatic reaction for Simon to have to pull the door.
Would be for all of us.
Absolutely.
I couldn't picture myself doing anything else.
I mean, I know Simon, the way Simon would have thought, I mean, the patient would have been his first thought, like that, you know. And so that's what he, you know. But we're at where we're at. And as I said, where did the gathering is a group that I have set up since last January. Mm. And it is a group for widows or losing your partner through death. Now, really and truly, it's a place for people to find a bit of peace and healing, because when you're going through it, there's so many things that feelings, issues, and I am one person could stand here and say that I had a network of support around me, but there's stuff you just can't discuss with family members. It's people in your situation that know what you mean.
Because they feel, yeah, yes. You share the same energy, share the same pain.
And it's so, so important. I'm so thankful I'm, you know, 12 years on and that my life is good. But I wouldn't have seen that when I was 6 months in or 2 years in or 5 years in. It was 7 years before the court cases were finished. So it's, for me, I wanted to set up something where people would have that space where they could share what they needed to share without judgment, you know, because sometimes your mind, you will think things, and it's human nature to think things, or maybe you're even hard on yourself, but you need to voice it, you know, and being able to voice it in a place that people will understand is so important. Now, I'm not a therapist, not a psychiatrist or anything like that. I'm just somebody that has experienced something.
It's the same thing with AA, NA and GA. You know, the people that walk in the rooms can relate to those sitting on the chairs.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing because they share the same experiences in life.
Yeah.
You know, and they can speak and relate to everybody else. And, it's the exact same thing, but it works like that in so many different areas in life.
Absolutely. You know? I mean, I think you could have a gathering for
Everything.
Yes.
Is it men and women?
Yes. Yes.
And is it just Cavan or is it national?
It's Cavan. At the moment. I would love to. I'd love to bring it because the amount of phone calls you get, and it's just too far from the travel, or they don't drive.
Yeah.
So I would love to do it.
What kind of numbers would you get at your gatherings?
Well, we're small. We have 11. And now we did have an open day where people travelled to us, which was lovely. Now, there is a group called Widowed in Ireland, a face group. A group that has been set up in recent years, an absolute fantastic group. And, you know, there is a space where people can voice. It's a private group and people do voice, and they're from all over the country. So there would be little gatherings, but that has just started in recent times.
I think it's a great idea.
Fantastic, you know. And it's so needed. And even like when I think back to where I was, you know, like trying to understand probate, you know, trying to deal with six children, trying to get counselling for young teenagers. You think that that would be just like that, but it's not. It's not.
How were the kids?
The kids are great.
How were they after the accident?
Kind of ages were they?
15 was the oldest. She hadn't just celebrated her 15th birthday, and the youngest had yet to come 5. So the youngest, I'm going to start with the youngest because she was a little doll. And
that must have been a tough one.
She cried solid for a month. I mean,
it's tough, isn't it? Like thinking back, you can feel the pain.
Solid for a month. And she'd say, wasn't my daddy silly? You know, and she used to go around with his shirt on her. And sure, she'd be tripping, like she was tripping over it. But that was her comfort. You know, that was her comfort. But she made the rest of us talk because of her age. And now I believe her brain development, you know, she had no inhibitions about what she needed to say. So then
she'd just say anything.
Yes. Okay. And she would have asked questions, and I could see her as time was going on and as she was growing. And even yet, Jane wants to build this picture of her dad. It's like a jigsaw, as if she's making a jigsaw and she's filling in all these pieces. You know, this is her dad. Her memory is fantastic, yet she's beginning to question, does she remember or is it what she is listening to from the older ones? I can remember her one day asking me what kind of biscuits he liked. I remember sitting at the table, right? And I remember thinking, and I just said whatever biscuits was in the press. Oh, I think he loved Viscounts. You know, I think they were his favourite. Definitely they were his favourite. Well, few minutes, I got up and I remember going outside and I remember like, what the fuck kind of biscuits did you like?
Yeah.
You know, like, how were you to have all these answers?
Yeah.
You know? And yet that was so important
yeah.
for her. She needed that answer, yeah. you know? Now, while I would have faith, I'm not an extremely religious person, but I would have faith. But I used to ask, you know, one of them at a time, please, one of them at a time, because they went through their, you know, they still do.
Yeah.
They still do. Milestones.
Mm.
When he's not there, you know. And what do you think he would think? And one thing I do know, he would be so proud of them.
Oh, 100%.
He would be so proud of them. They're fantastic kids.
But you know what? He would be proud of you. Because you brought up 6 children on your own. I'm sure now you got a lot of help from family and friends.
Absolutely.
But, you know, that could not have been an easy thing to do. I thought the older generation, the women of back in the 50s, when they were bringing up 10, 12, yeah. 16 kids, yeah. you know, I thought they were just, mm-hmm. I don't know, there's not a word for them, but like even today for a woman to bring up 6 children on her own, because there's so much like to take their attention away with phones and everything else is, like that's a massive big deal.
It is. But they are like, yes, look, I know I had something to do with it.
Yeah.
But they are great kids and they have a great mindset. And whether it's because what happened to them, you know, at such a young age, I can see they have an appreciation of simple things. You know, they love conversation. They love sitting down and having conversation with anybody. And because that connection, the love connection, you know, we'll say what they love, even we'll say like to chat about their dad or for anyone to chat about their dad. I think people are very conscious about mentioning Simon maybe to them. Or they might mention, you know, oh, that was a terrible thing happened to your dad. You know, they're never going to forget what happened to their dad. But what they love is for people to say, oh, I remember your dad, and tell them why, you know, they remember him and what connection they had with him. That's so important them. That's so important for them, you know, because there's stories that they wouldn't know and that I mightn't necessarily know, you know. So anybody that that they do love that.
And they were proud of their father. Being paramedic and everything.
Oh gosh, they are. Yes.
He died helping somebody. Like, that's it. You know what I mean? They'd be very, very proud of him for that.
Yeah, of course.
You know, it's
yeah.
a true mark of him.
Yeah.
What about the second youngest child? I'd say, like, each, whatever age you're at, you process the grief a little bit differently. So I'd be interested to hear that.
Yeah.
Peter was 8, going on 9. And,
bringing you
Peter
back.
Is that's okay. Peter would be a very I'm going to say introvert to a point
deep.
Yes. I believe now I as I say I'm no psychiatrist or anything like that, but from what little bits that I would have read, I think Peter was possibly at the worst age for this to happen, if there is a worse age.
Mm.
But I think the way the brain can develop, that he wasn't old enough or young enough, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think for him, I would have been very concerned that he maybe didn't cry the way I would have thought he should have. Mm. And I would have been very conscious of that, very conscious of he didn't talk, you know, wouldn't talk. But Peter's not a talker. And, you know, sometimes as parents, when you're watching your child go through this, I can only speak of this. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't maybe always expect them to always be talking, you know. Put your arms around them and tell them you love them. They need to feel the security of you being there. They're trying, maybe they don't have the language. Maybe Peter didn't have the language to explain what, you know, what he was going through. But he definitely would have found school very tough. He's working now. He's 21. I'm very proud of Peter. He's still not a talker.
Mm-hmm.
But when he mentions Simon, you know, it's wonderful because I know, and I know he doesn't forget him. I know that. And it's nice when he does mention him. And but I think for a lad, like, I suppose you try to be both parents, you know, but you can't. You, there's only so much, you know, there's only so much. And you can beat yourself up and all of that about it. But there's moments when boys need their dads, and that's it. Children need them, you know.
What about the next one?
Lucy, she's graduating tomorrow.
Congratulations, Lucy. What does she study?
She studied Irish and German.
Very good.
She's starting her master's in teaching.
Oh, lovely.
She's a great girl.
We might get a video after and graduate her.
That's fantastic.
We'll even do it in German.
On your own there anyway, James. I'm still trying out the English language here, pal.
You did German back in the day, like, so I have...
did you?
Fantastic.
In school.
Right, yeah. My leave, so. Brilliant, yeah. She spent a year in Germany when she was studying. Brilliant. So she's... Look at, as I say...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I watch them. And while they're all individuals and they all have their own personalities, the enthusiasm for life. And the grow for, you know, life is for living, like, and they go after what they want.
Do you think they have a value in valuing the now because they understand it can be taken?
Absolutely. That's what I say.
Nothing is promised. Like.
Nothing's, and to do it, to do your best now. I mean, look, like, I'm not painting a flowery picture here. Yeah. I mean, there's times I could kill them.
Yeah, for the most part.
But on a whole, they definitely have such an appreciation of life. And, you know, while I remember Owen, the oldest lad, one day saying to me, you know, what happened to us has been so tough, but we're so lucky in ways. Mm. Now, when you hear your son saying that, you know, like, he was, what, maybe 19 years of age when he said that to me. Like, it's lovely. It's wonderful. Is,
but if they had, mental health issues or addictions or disorders, it would be very understandable, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they're actually doing okay is a testament to you and your family and whatever support networks you had around,
yeah.
that you created a space from the
yeah.
process that grief in a very healthy way,
yeah.
that they don't need external stuff and stimulants, mm. you know, to help them cope, you know.
Yeah.
That's well, so true.
Well, mm. listen, it you know, there's a story where, or there's saying a community, it takes a community to raise a child.
That's right.
And I lived in a fantastic community. And we have football club, Camogie club, and the schools, like, you know, the help was there. I had to learn not to be afraid to ask. And I didn't, you know, when there's two people in the house, you mightn't have needed.
Yeah.
You didn't need as much, but you had to learn not to be afraid to ask. Mm. And it was comforting to know that people were there.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. And the importance of your children being involved in a club at that age, fantastic. Now, sometimes they may not have wanted to go and you had to really, you know, push maybe sometimes. But like, isn't that life at times? We don't always want to do things, you know. But anyway.
What age was Lucy?
Lucy was... coming up to her, she was 11. She would have been 11. Yes.
Yeah.
yeah. Now I can remember Lucy.
No, I don't know, 11-year-old boys and 11-year-old girls have different levels of maturity. Was she like a little woman, Nick?
She,
or was she like child?
Lucy is very, Lucy's a very easy personality, you know. She, now, this is all in my opinion, okay?
Yeah, yeah,
people might see them very different. I think she is a very easy personality. And she, one thing that really annoyed Lucy after Simon died was that she didn't help him on the farm, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I remember saying to her, like, what do you think you might have done? Like, what do you think you would have been able to do, Lucy? You know? And she says, I don't know, but I should have helped him more, you know. And she was grieving for what... you know, she would have thought could have been. And, you know, now if Simon was here today and he wanted them out to do some farming, now there'd be nothing but rows. Yeah. You know what I mean? But they don't know that, you know, like, but I know that for a fact, you know, but she was really upset about that. Yeah, she, you know, she would have liked to have been helping her daddy a lot more.
Yeah.
After at 11 years of age, you know, standing a gap when there'd be cattle moving was as much as a girl would be doing on a farm, you know.
That says a lot about it, because adults would think something like that when they lose somebody as well.
Survivor skills.
What if I'd done this? Mm. What if I'd done that? Mm. May have helped. And I should have done this, should have done that. So she was at that period of her life, she was really kind of moving into a more mature level, you know. Mm. She wasn't, you know, she was thinking of what more she could have done instead of, you know, going back.
You're trying to make sense of it as well, like.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to, you know, very hard, like the mind would go on anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What about the next one?
Emer.
What age?
Emer was 13 and... 12 coming on 13.
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of stuff going on biologically at that time in the body as well.
Yes.
Difficult.
She, Emma would say to me that she used to wonder why Lucy be crying at night, you know, and why she wasn't crying. Emer's a very deep thinker as well. I would say Emer's very hard on herself. Emer's a perfectionist.
Is she?
Yeah. And, but probably couldn't understand what she was feeling, you know, I would think, probably because of hormones and all that's going on. And I'm sure as well, kind of, your kids go through a phase where they just care about themselves and that's it, you know, so there was so much. But of course she cried and missed her dad, and would have watched their friends with their dads. And, you know, wondering, wouldn't have liked when they'd hear their friends given out. She wouldn't have liked when she'd hear her friends given out about their dad.
Mm.
You know, you're lucky to have him, like, you know, that, yeah.
Well, I was thinking of there 2 minutes ago, I was saying, like, you know, the way you wonder how kids that grow up in the same household, it can be so different. Like you have six children who are individually so different, you know, and they grew up in the same house, same mom, same dad. But I suppose it's not the mom and dad just that tunes the child.
Mm-hmm.
It's their environment. It's their school. Absolutely. It's how they look.
Yeah.
It's what they're good at. Yeah. It's the sports, if they're good at that.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much, isn't there?
So much, so much. And like, I remember like Emer, myself and Emer, and if she's ever watching this, the two of us, we like, oh my God, we do, we really.
Clash.
Oh, big time, you know. But yes,
I could think of two more ladies like that, two in my life.
I just say myself and Emer is either like that
or
like that. You know, but Emer, I can remember Emer. When Emer would have seen me maybe having a bad day, well, Emer made sure that sink was clear.
Yeah.
She physically, you could see her physically stepping you know. Oh, back, yes. Yeah. Now, of course, they all done their bit. They really did. But I could see that in her while she drove me mad in other ways. It was a lovely thing, you know, a lovely thing to see.
Yeah. What about the next kid?
Owen.
He's the second oldest, though.
Yes. Yeah. So Owen would have been like such a help on the farm with Simon. And
so like were you like dairy farmers and then part-time?
At that stage Simon would have give up the dairy and it was beef.
Okay.
So a lot of work still to be done. But it is a fantastic life. It's a fantastic way of living for a family. And I think a great way for kids because there is work to be done and, you know, a bit of work can never killed anybody.
No, and it's good for them.
Good for them. It's good fresh for them air. There's a freedom. There's a therapy in it.
Yeah.
So Owen certainly was at a stage to be able to help his dad and loved doing it. Owen would say he was very fortunate. In school, there was a counsellor at the time. So every Tuesday morning, Owen would have a class with that counsellor or on alternative Tuesdays. One, you know, have a morning session or an afternoon session. So he wasn't always missing the same class, which was a testament to St. Pat's School to have that facility there.
Yeah.
And he would say that was his space. And he got to say what he needed to say, but Owen would be a talker in comparison to Peter, you know. But he would definitely say that stood to him at the time. Now he would have went down and helped a farmer, Jim down the road from us, who was brilliant. And Jim, a great man, Jim O'Rourke, and Peter and Owen worked with Jim. And, you know, like Jim certainly treated them practically like his own, you know, in bringing them forward with the bit of farming, you know. So,
wasn't that lovely, old one?
Absolutely.
Because he knew, absolutely. He probably understood what they were going through and he wanted just to, I suppose he was never going to fill their anybody's shoes, but he was going to help them as much as he possibly could.
He, you know, the empathy and was there for them. And Owen then done his leaving cert. He's an electrical engengineer now. Has travelled.
Fair play, that's a big deal. It's a good job.
He's a good lad.
What about the firstborn?
Edel is in Canada.
Oh, lovely.
Edel headed to Canada there in June. Great girl. She trained as a radiation therapist and she's actually working as a radiation therapist out in Canada now at the moment.
There are obviously three people that have cancer.
So
what age was she when her father passed?
She would have wouldn't have yet been 15. You know, she was 15 a couple of weeks after her. But a great girl. Really, really lovely girl. Edel, if you could have bottled Edel, you know, Edel got a school, you know, her studies. So, what would I say? The ratio of sport, studying, fun, you know, if you could bottle it out and give it to some of the rest of them. Yeah, it was, you know, she just had that.
Good balance. Like.
She just had, you know, and she always was very responsible. And I would think... she just always was very responsible. Even when Simon was there, Adele always had that sense of responsibility about her, you know. Yeah, she certainly did, and still would. Yeah,
she's the oldest lady.
Yes. Yeah.
How old is she? She's 27.
27 now.
Yeah. And she did she go to college and everything?
So yeah, she trained as a radiation therapist. Oh, yeah.
It was good to get a glimpse of the children and the different ages, because there'd be people watching it.
Absolutely.
And they might have children of different age experience and this, not maybe not six.
Yeah.
Can't imagine what it must have been like to have six.
But a lot of people try to imagine what it must be like for somebody like yourself to lose your husband so young and to pick yourself back up. And to roll with it and to get on. And a lot of people will try to understand what they need to do and where to go to get the help they require to do that. And what you're just after doing is, believe it or not, is just showing people how to. And that's exactly what you just done, you know. Even yourself, did you go for counselling after?
Absolutely. And like, that's one thing I would say to people. You know, professionals is there for a reason, and use them. You may not meet the right counsellor or the right psychologist. Well, try and get another one. You know, if you don't connect. Now, I would have went, right, you were getting so much advice, like you need to look after yourself, which is so important, right? But you have to, I think you have to learn that. I probably learned it a hard way, in a sense, you know. I'm 12 years on and I know now how important it is to look after yourself.
Yeah.
I know how important it is, you know, to break things down and, you know, look ahead from a distance for a little while and see. But I've learned that, you know.
You can pass it on.
Yeah. Like when I think of when I went to the first guy, sure I couldn't even feel. When I think about it, how numb I was. I wasn't feeling, you know.
And were you all, before that, were you somebody that was very aware of your emotions? And because some people
aren't.
Busy. Yeah.
I was very busy.
They need something like that. To happen in their lives, to actually become more aware of who they are and what they're about.
Sure. I mean, like, what do we know about anybody's life, really? And I definitely have, like, Simon's death has taught me so much, you know. My own father's death taught me so much in dealing with Simon's death. It certainly did. Like people would have said to me when Simon died, like, and the funeral and all of that, like, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? You seem like I done Simon's funeral and we done it well, because my dad had passed 4 years previous and I couldn't even remember a song that was played. So I really, right, I wanted every single bit of Simon's funeral, you know, done right. That I knew some of my kids mightn't remember. So if they ever needed to know anything, then I would be able to answer that.
Yeah.
For them. Plus, it was, you know, it was a celebration of Simon's life. Yes, it was a tragedy, but he was a wonderful man. And he, you know, he gave so much joy to people. And I know when somebody dies, sometimes they can be put on a pedestal. He was as stubborn as could be at times, you know. But he was a great person. He was a great father. He was a great son to his mum and dad. He was a wonderful husband to me.
Did you find it hard to move on? Like, you're a young woman when this happened, like.
Yeah, there's, I would think I concentrated on the kids for so many years.
Yeah.
And people say moving on, I would say move forward.
Yeah.
Because you've never actually just
move on.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still there. It's just, so, you know, you grow around your grief.
Mm.
For me,
yeah,
right? I feel that I've grown around the grief. I'll never forget Simon. I never want to forget Simon. Mm. Why would I?
Yeah.
You know?
You're looking at six people.
Absolutely. You know?
Every single day.
Yeah. And it's so important that you learn to live with that grief. It's not an easy journey. What helped me, I think, is the attitude of gratitude. I had two mantras, get better, not bitter, and get up, dress up, and show up.
I like it. Mm. We might use that, actually. You want to paint that before me and James take it off?
You're welcome. It's so important. There's so many days that you wanted to sit in the corner. There's so many days, but what good was I to anybody if you sat in a corner? I never had a problem getting up in the morning. That wasn't where, but walking up those stairs at night. You know, people would have asked, had we a special place? Special place. You had six kids, come on. You know, but you
in the shower.
Oh, the bell.
The shower when you're probably the only time you get yourself.
But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you put your head in the pillow, you chat about the day, you chat about what's going to come on tomorrow. You try and plan between the two of us. You know, each of us had our role. Mm. And like, as I said here, now, if he was sitting beside me, he mightn't agree, but I really felt we had it all. Like, you know, we had a beautiful home. We both had jobs that we loved. We had six beautiful kids. We had a lovely, lovely marriage. Look, we didn't get our full 16 years.
Yeah.
But I'm glad what we did get. And it taught me how important love is. And moving on in life, yes, I've moved on. I've met a new guy, and Jimmy, and I'm so happy to have met Jimmy. I'm in a good place, and I have a good life.
You're actually glowing.
Thank you, Tim.
And that's the truth. The minute you got out of the car, when I see you in the car park, you had this vibrant energy about you, a big smile on your face, and you looked so happy. Mm. And I just want to say, well done to you.
Thank you.
Because I know you've came through a massive amount of heartache, you know, but like to see somebody come from that, you know, and be the way you are today, like, that's not easy, you know.
Yeah. You know? It's not easy, but it's very doable, Jimmy. If you have the attitude, if you want it. Now, I'm not saying there was moments where I wasn't happy or moments where I didn't. Like on the ground. But sometimes I think you have to, hit the ground to come a step further, you know? And when the grow is there, like, you know, I'm the one living. You went through, like you'd go through phases of guilt of, God, I'm getting to enjoy these milestones so much. Like, you know, and if he was here, I can only imagine. But I'm the one that's getting to enjoy them.
Yeah.
And like, what did he do wrong that he didn't get to enjoy them? You know? But
it's life's mystery.
Yes. But like, I firmly believe, you know, heaven, if there's a heaven, like there's no doubt about it. Simon's there. Simon was called for a reason. I still feel he's still with us. As I say, there's a spiritual connection. I feel that there's certainly something, you know, and I feel there's a comfort in that. because it certainly has got me through so many times that coincidences, you can't put everything down to coincidence, right? And, you know, there's a certain presence, there definitely is.
If people want to find out more about your group and your organization,
we're on Facebook.
On Facebook.
Yes, there's a WhatsApp number. And The Gathering, again, when I started it, why? Like, I would have always said that I wanted to do something. Like, I can remember 2-3 years in, I'm saying to my sister, I really would love to do something, you know, to help people. One day, if I get the strength. I would think that my real grieving would have started when Lucy would have went to college. There was Peter and Jane left in the house, and Peter was very quiet. Jane was still quite young. I had a lot more time. Peter was actually going for a little bit of counselling. I was a counsellor, kind of, she's seen through me. She's seen through me, and she would have got me to, she would have asked me questions that hadn't been asked. And I thank her. But then it was at that stage I would have went through a phase of, did I do enough for the kids? And I couldn't get past it. I had met Jimmy. Wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful to meet somebody. Meet somebody as lovely as Jimmy, as good as Jimmy. And I'm not saying that, but there was a lot going on in my head that I needed to sort for myself. And a friend of mine suggested doing a retreat. So Stevie J.
Yeah, you've done.
Had done the retreat. And
That's how we made contact.
Yes.
Me and you then through that. The lads told me that you were a really inspiring story.
Yeah.
And that it was it was one of your wishes to be on the podcast to share your experience.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, do you know what? Me and James want to make that happen.
Yeah. You did a great job.
And we did. And we want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story, because you'll never know who's going to be listening to this and who you'll be helping with your story.
Yeah.
And somebody might be going through this exact same thing.
Yeah.
And when they hear your story, it will pick them up off the floor and it will give them that extra little bit of boost, energy and motivation to do the exact same you are. And we want it, for me and Jen, we want to thank you for that.
And hi to the six kids, the steps of the stairs.
Hi everybody, particularly the one for graduation tomorrow. That'll be well over by this stage, so but well done. Yeah. And thank you so much for coming on.
Safe journey back to County Cavan.
Okay, well thank you very much.
The old Jimmy. Thanks, Jimmy wife. You're making this woman happy here, so well done.
Well, can I just say just thank you to you guys, and thanks to The Gathering, because without the people that actually come to The Gathering, it would not be happening.
Exactly.
And it took courage for them. And everybody, if you just take that little step, you know.
And you might inspire somebody from Dublin or Cork or Limerick
to start
or God,
a group.
To start it up.
Yeah.
And then you might have a national gathering somewhere.
And that's what this could be. This could be the beginning of that. So anyone else that wants to start up something like that in their counties,
absolutely,
look them up on Facebook. It's called The Gathering. And
best luck with it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Launch, lads.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.